Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
In some ways, the central question of life is, what does it mean to live? What does it mean to live? Easter offers an answer. 3 years is kind of a long time. Sure, 3 days, 3 hours, 3 minutes can be a long time, depending on what we're facing. 13 seconds can be a long time, as Bills fans discovered earlier this year. But so can 3 years, as we have all just experienced. After all, believe it or not, it has been 3 years since the last time we all gathered for in-person worship on Easter. Not since April of 2019 is that even possible. It's been 3 years since we heard other people singing Christ the Lord is risen today. 3 years since we put on our Easter finest, still looking good people. 3 years since we had to endure a sermon without the benefit of a mute button. You can still try. Not that we haven't been together in the last two Easters, we have, just in a different way. We were virtual. Some of us still are. And as we've learned, all things considered, virtual worship works pretty well. It's especially good for those who are far away or homebound or who really like their pajamas. Hello to all of you. But there is something nice about being able to see each other's faces, or at least the parts we can see beyond our masks. I would imagine even for those who are gathered at home today, watching or listening, it's nice to hear and to see other people. It's a reminder in this moment that we're not alone. In other words, we don't discount those who are still watching virtually. Far from it, we celebrate the gift, that miracle of modern technology that makes it possible to worship together at a distance. All we're saying is that after 3 years, it's nice to be back, or at least back-ish. Which is sort of the name of the game these days, isn't it? Not just in the church, but in the world, we're all sort of back-ish, sort of back and sort of not. That's the thing, some of us are doing some of the same things we used to, but not all of us, and not all in the same way, and not all the things. We're all at different stages, each of us a little more comfortable than others. It's like some of us jumped right back into our old routines as if no time has passed. Others of us let go of virtually everything or kept everything virtual, and some of us are stuck somewhere in between. It's like we know somewhere deep down that this is an opportunity to change some things about how we've been living. But we're just not quite sure how. It's like we know we don't want to go back to the way things were, but we're not always sure how they could be. We know we want to be living again, but can't quite remember what that means. The central question of life is, what does it mean to live? We'd be forgiven for having forgotten. 3 years is a long time, and we've been through a lot in 3 years. The biggie, of course, is the pandemic. It's hard to forget that one, given that 1 million people in our country alone are no longer with us. some that we personally miss. And we've done our best to get through it. We've gotten our vaccines and our boosters, recognizing it as a way of loving our neighbor as ourselves. But the truth is, we keep watching those news reports as new variants pop up, as the numbers continue to rise, and we recognize we're not at the end of this yet, which is sort of a challenge, isn't it? Because it's not the only thing we've been facing in the last 3 years. Think of everything we as a world, we as a country, we as a community have faced over the course of the last 3 years. We have had an awakening to racial injustice. We've had a contentious election, an insurrection, a fractured democracy. We've seen a climate crisis. We've had people struggle to make ends meet. We've seen a rise of inflation, a housing crisis, and now a war with potential nuclear consequences, and that's not even naming what we've been dealing with personally. Think of everything you've been through in the last 3 years. No wonder we are struggling to find our way. No wonder we're struggling with what life means in this moment. The good news, friends, is that it's Easter. And above all else, Easter reminds us that no matter how dark, how dank, how dreary this world seems, life is always possible, even when it seems we are at our lowest. After all, it's right there in the Easter story. Sure, when we tell the Easter story, we're really quick to jump to the happy ending, to the empty tomb. He is risen indeed, hallelujah, all well and good. But we forget that Easter morning starts at a low, with the women at a low, with the disciples at a low, trying to understand not just the last 3 days, but the last 3 years. Truth be told, we don't really know how long Jesus was in ministry. We only really have these four Gospels, each one written 40, 60, 90 years after the fact. But the tradition has it that Jesus was in ministry for around 3 years. There's reasons for that. We'll save that for another sermon. See you next week. Suffice it to say here that the women and the disciples had given of themselves for the last 3 years to follow Jesus. For 3 years, they had turned everything in their lives upside down so that they could follow this man whom they thought was their Savior, whom they thought could lead them somewhere new, only 2-3 days ago, watch him die. And with him, their hope for the future. Maybe some of us know what that's like. To be so certain we know exactly how our life is going to go, to have everything planned out only to have something come along and change it. Truth be told, some of us handle that better than others, as we're seeing right now. I've lost track of the number of videos I've seen of people freaking out on planes or at the registers, or in town hall meetings, or in church. None of us are at our best right now, and it's coming out in strange ways. We're taking it out on the people around us, and it makes sense. Not that it's okay. Kindness matters, even when we're struggling. But it makes sense from an evolutionary perspective, doesn't it? We have built into us this thing, which when we're backed into a corner, we go into fight, flight, or flee. And some of us try all three at the same time. The good news is it's nothing new. We can see it in the Easter story. Here we have the disciples who go back into this mode where they hold themselves up, the remaining 11. They're stuck in a room, stopped. They don't know what to do, whereas the women, as so often happens, put their heads down and do what needs to be done. We all react to loss differently. But there is something in this story that we often miss. See, both the disciples and the women, whatever else they did, however differently they reacted, at least they stuck together. They found a way to stay together even in the midst of the challenges. They found a way to, if they were going to hole up together. If they were going to keep their heads down, to keep their heads down together. Maybe we could learn something from that. If nothing else, over the last 2-3 years, we've learned that we can face a lot if we know we don't have to face it alone. If we're lost, at least we have someone else there with us. If you're scratching your head wondering, who are my people? Who are the ones who can walk alongside me in that moment? If you're struggling to name somebody, the good news is you've come to the right place. After all, that's what a church is for. That's why we're here. Now, I get it. It's Easter Sunday, which means some of us really want to be here and some of us really don't. We've been dragged along by somebody in our family, and we just want the sermon to end so we can get to brunch. I feel your pain. And frankly, I don't even blame you. After all, almost every time we turn on the news, when we hear of a so-called Christian or we hear of the church acting in the world, it's not usually good. It's usually someone who's baptizing their bigotry or using Christ as a cudgel. Or denying science, people who are pushing out our LGBTQ siblings, or blaming the poor for their poverty, or trying to prop up those systems of white supremacy. The truth is, if that was what the church was actually about, I would have slept in this morning too. It's been a while since the church has been that paragon of love and acceptance, but make no mistake, friends, that's who we're called to be. That's who we're supposed to be, and at our best, that is who we are. Are we imperfect? Absolutely, because we're people. The church is the people, and people are imperfect. But we are an imperfect group that gets together to recognize that we are more perfect together than we are apart. People who are willing to come together week after week after week to keep trying to figure out this thing called life, to keep pointing people in the right direction. Look, all of us have that question at some point in our lives. What does it mean to live? What does it mean for me to live? This is a place that has an answer. We may not be perfect, but we're figuring it out. Look, if you were to get rid of everything else in the church, all the doctrine and dogma, the detritus of our faith that's built up over 2,000 years. If you were to clear the church of all the pomp and pageantry, what would we be about? Life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Our faith is not about what happens when we die. It's about what happens when we live right here and right now, the kind of life that not even death can destroy, the kind of life that was shown to us by the one who we celebrate this morning. A life grounded in love, not for some, but for all, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, and everyone beyond and between. A love that is eternal. That ripples out beyond us so that it is still going long after we die. Look at Jesus. Whatever skepticism you bring, whatever doubt you have about what happened on that first Easter morning, whether you think it was a bodily resurrection or a spiritual resurrection or something else entirely, if you look at the world, we know that there is no way that Jesus isn't alive. That is, he continues to share that love into the world. Jesus is alive. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus is alive. Now the question is, are we? Jesus is alive because of the love that he shared in this world. The good news is we can share the same love. So if we're coming this morning with a little question in our heart, feeling a little stuck, wanting to get back to life, but being only back-ish, the good news is we know the way of Christ, the way of faith, the way of love. A love
that not even death can destroy. Last month, I did a memorial service for a young woman, mother, sister, daughter, wife, friend, scientist. She was a brilliant young woman in more ways than one, who from a very early age, it wasn't enough to just see the stars. She wanted to know the constellations. It wasn't enough to just see the birds. She wanted to tell you their names. It wasn't enough to just marvel at the beauty of the flowers. She wanted to understand how they worked. And so as she grew, she dedicated her life to science, using those gifts God had given her to share something lasting, eventually creating cancer medicines that are just now coming out. And then 3 years ago, just about the time we had gathered for Easter, the last time in person, April of 2019, she was diagnosed with cancer. Three years is a long time. But not long enough. And though she did everything she could, in the end, nothing could be done. And so, as sometimes happens in the face of death, she turned her attention to the nature of life. After years of scientific inquiry, of probing the very nature of life itself, she finally, in the end, came to a kind of final conclusion. Laying on her hospice bed, one of the very last cogent things she said to her husband, her final insight into the nature of life and love, was simply this: two words. Kindness ripples. Friends, we know what it means to live. Now we just have to do it. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.